plan an after-school program, a religious fanatic posts footage of an interfaith service project. A group of teenage boys watches a video of a father playing catch with his son. An adult film star paints thumbnail portraits of elderly couples, fully clothed and smiling. A record executive records a demo of his apology. A policeman makes reverse 911 calls, instructing residents to take to the streets. A patriarch reports for duty. She's wearing an orange jumpsuit and holding a picket sign. She's ashamed of her birthplace, but retreat is not an option.
Women and children, front line, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. In the belly of the vulture, watch your back. There's no civilians, women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Butterfly wing crosswinds send black hawks toward hurricane survivors. Roses sprout from empty lots and sidewalk cracks. Pacifist gorillas move undetected through concrete jungles. New forms are beginning to take shape. Once occupied minds are activating. People are waking up. The insurgency is alive and well.
Rise of the robot, portrait of the new American insurgent. Rattle and shake the foundations of the world order. Assembly line, consent, resist, refuse, inform, create. Direct love wants to the trenches. Suit up, pour trouble into fortresses. Plaster, cloth, aluminum, broken porcelain, rusted platinum. Burn blood stains from decompressed diamonds. Hammer the battle cry into braille studded armor.
We are building up a new world. Do not sit idly by, do not remain neutral, do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
I was having a rough week and it started, I was sitting at my desk. I was already sad this day because I had to get a new groupie. Oh, that's a very rough time. As a humorist and storyteller, I only get to have one groupie at a time. And I don't do groupies right anyway. Right away, when I get a new groupie, I say, you have to understand that I'm happily married. But I enjoy being adored, so... if you want to come to some gigs and hang out, I wouldn't mind that. And then they start coming to my gigs with me and, you know, they'll hold my jacket and they'll go and get me coffee and tell me if there's schmutz on my face before I perform. And then I go into a panic that someone's going to think that I'm sleeping with my groupie and I introduce them as my assistant. And then they realize they're not getting anything out of the relationship. And then I have to get a new groupie. And put up with mean things being said about me on Facebook for 2 weeks. But there's that little span when they get to come and adore me and I get to be adored, and that's just a win-win. Yeah. Which also, by the way, is the name of my imaginary panda. Although he spells it N-G-U-Y-E-N, N-G-U-Y-E-N. Because my imaginary panda is apparently Vietnamese on his father's side. So, what happened was I went down to Occupy LA, and let me say, anyone who tells you you cannot change the world has a vested interest in maintaining the status quo. Thank you. And I was down there to read poetry on the main stage because I like to change the world. Especially if it also means that I can get stage time. Come on, that's just an imaginary panda right there. So I had gone down to Occupy LA, and my groupie du week had come down with me. And I was waiting to find out when I was going to be performing, and she went off to get me coffee. And as she was returning with the coffee, she got a phone call from family members and was talking on her cell phone, and suddenly she had a Texas accent. It's that weird code switching thing where you know someone for years and then you hear them talk to their family. Oh, you're Mexican. I had no idea. What is that, Lithuanian? I don't. So I had never heard her speak with this accent before, and that took me by surprise. And it reminded me, many years ago, when I was still a heavy-duty road comic. But, stay with the group. Before I had traded in my laugh every 15 seconds for cufflinks, I used to travel all over the country and do stand-up. And I had groupies in a lot of different cities, but I wasn't as self-aware as I am now. So I just thought I was really sexy and there were women who liked to sleep with me. And in San Antonio, Texas, I had a groupie who shouted, "I'm fixin' to come." Which, by the way, is useful information for me to have. I like to know when that's going to happen, and when it's happening, and when it's happened. Actually, let me just take a second to go parenthetical here for a minute. On behalf of all the straight men in the audience, let me say to all the straight women in the audience this. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what you want. We want to be so good in bed so that you'll come back. But we have no instructions. We don't know what we're doing. With my groupies, I never believed that I had fully satisfied a woman until she shouted my full name and intro credits. We need as much information as... I've been married for 17 years. I still do not have a clue what's going on. I want to be great for my wife. She does all the right stuff. She hugs and shudders and giggles and squeals and bites and moans and scratches and sighs and clutches and whimpers. Does the thing. But it's not all at the same time. I don't know which one is it. I want the big O. I'm getting R through Z thrown in. We're going into the Greek alphabet, Roman numerals. I'm in bed going, what are we now doing, the spin cycle? Let me know when it's time to pull it out and dry it, because... Frankly, this was a small enough load, I could have done it by hand. The last time I did that joke, a woman shouted at me, "Oh no, he didn't." Which was hilarious to me because it was not 1996 and I was not on the Ricky Lake show.
That was too much information? Or just enough information from our friend Dylan Brody, performing Imaginary Panda from his last comedy album, Chronological Disorder, available on the iTunes and elsewhere, I imagine. Before that was Winning. No, We Are Winning. Before that was We Are Winning. Sorry about that. From the apparently optimistic artists Flowbots. Nice little tune there. I like that. Anyway, big news this week. Big cultural news. This is the cultural news part of the show. The WWE, this is the WrestleMania people, when you're flipping through channels. I'm sure you've seen them. It's a professional theatrical wrestling trip. You know, I mean, if you're an American, you know what I'm talking about. Come on. The WWE has joined other respectable and august organizations, such as Carl's Rovers and the Ku Klux Klan, by dismissing the Tea Party as a kook tank. You think I'm making this up, right? This is from Mediaite, February 19th. WWE demonizes Tea Party with racist, real American, villainous character, which generates outrage. Of course. Of course it does. That's all they've got. Anyway, I guess you know how the how the professional wrestling works, is that they have the good guys, they have the bad guys, and they have the characters. And since I watched it when I was 7, they've introduced a kind of a new slant to it, that there's a handler or sort of a manager that becomes part of the show. And so you might have the Barbarian or the Al-Qaeda Sheikh or all these bad guys, and they always have a manager that they throw in there who's even more outrageous than the wrestlers, because the wrestlers are, I mean, some of them are good actors, some of them aren't. But anyway, the WWE has entered the Tea Party mockery game with character Jack Swagger and his villainous real American manager Zeb Coulter. I'm assuming there's no relation, but the Coulter reference, I'm sure, is intentional. Or maybe she's writing their material. The parody is generating outcry from conservative fans of the pro wrestling organization. Oh, no. I think the grown-ups at pro wrestling events are apparently mostly conservatives. They haven't been this mad since Django was unchained. Appearing on Monday Night Raw last week, Swagger and Coulter were booed by the crowd as they overzealously talked about the Constitution, the scourge of illegal immigration, and true patriotism. Other promotional videos of the two show them talking about freeloading immigrants and welfare recipients in front of the Gadsden flag, which is that's that don't tread on me flag, right? Swagger is set to battle for the World Heavyweight Championship, or whatever it's called, against Mexican wrestler Alberto Del Rio. Clearly a play on the stereotypical tension between anti-immigration types and Mexicans. They're playing us to the hilt. Further hyping the Tea Party gimmicks, commentators Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler continually referred to Coulter as Swagger's nut job manager and said that the pair had received fan mail from Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Alex Jones. That is so humiliating. I can't believe it. It's about time. Oh, God. I mean, I don't really follow professional wrestling, but I do follow comedy. And I know who Jerry Lawler is, by the way. Jerry Lawler is the guy who was Andy Kaufman's confederate when he went into performing in professional wrestling events. And I mean, there's a famous David Letterman thing where Lawler smacks the crap out of Kaufman. And of course, you know, anyway, if you know anything about that, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you don't. So anyway, let's listen to these guys in action working the crowd. This is, what's his name? Jack Swagger and his villainous real American manager, Zeb Coulter.
But most importantly, I think, how do we get rid of them? We the people. Americans, real Americans know the truth. Zeb Coulter knows the truth. Jack Swagger knows the truth. I know the truth. Because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Not the land of the free and the home to whoever wants to cross our borders. This is a real American. It's our country. It's our land to protect and defend. Because we are real patriots, real Americans, and remember, we the people.
How did he get up on that soapbox?
The people!
Well, the bottom line is that Jack Swagger has aligned himself with that man, a so-called real patriot, a real American.
Holy crap. Being relegated to a wrestling village stereotype is lower than the most loathsome King of the Hill cartoon character. What happened to my precious movement that I always had so much fun of making? How can I make fun of them anymore? It's like being kicked out of NASCAR for being too drunk. I'm sorry. Let me get a hold of myself here. It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys. Holy crap. Oh, jeez. You can tell they're not real teabaggers because they're not strapped into a hover round with an oxygen tank. Oh, I'm going to run you over. And a real tagger would show up packing heat and still get their ass kicked. Holy crap. The squidbillies might sue him for copyright infringement. How bad is it when Jesse Ventura thinks you're a joke because you're too paranoid? Oh, God. Well, these teabaggering dipsticks are so upset they actually forgot to hate gays and women for all 5 minutes. Oh. I mean, I was not ready for this. Oh, crap. All right, next up, Harry Shearer from his weekly radio program, Le Show. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Interside Radio with me, Scooter. I forgot to mention that, huh?
You probably noticed that Hillary Clinton is no longer our Secretary of State. She's been supplanted by John Kerry. She resigned for reasons really unknown at this point. At almost the same time, CNN, just before it decided to become all poop ship news all the time, had a house cleaning of its commentariat. Among those who are no longer going to be punditizing on CNN are the political odd couple of James Carville and Mary Madeline. She, of course, a Republican, he a Democrat. and not only a Democrat, but a close advisor to the Clintons, since he helped engineer, or was one of the people who helped engineer Bill Clinton's rise to the presidency in 1992. Bill Clinton made the news this week as well when a letter from Richard Nixon to Bill Clinton surfaced, became public. It appears that that letter, written to Clinton just as he was about to assume office from Nixon, began something of a series of conversations between the two. Talk about odd couples. Clinton and Nixon. Nixon's first letter hailed Clinton for the strength that Nixon perceived in him, which Nixon perceived to be appropriately presidential. Yes, it does sound like there's an episode of Clinton Something coming on this broadcast next.
Clinton Something, the Wilderness Years.
Look at this, James. Hmm? A handwritten card from President Ahmadinejad.
Oh, that's a collector's item right there. What's it say?
Merry Christmas from your friends at Iran Revolutionary Guards.
No, kind of sweet.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for dropping by.
Oh, no problem. Mary and I were cleaning out our desk at CNN, so we were in the hood.
You guys shared a desk?
Mm-hmm. Left drawers were for her talking points, right drawers were mine.
Isn't that a little backwards?
Well, we thought it might confuse thieves.
No, I mean, keeping your talking points in a desk.
High drives.
Got it. Wow. This I gotta take with me.
Hey, go for it. Only the president can't take his gifts.
Didn't stop Bill.
Whatever did.
You got that right. Look at this. An elephant carved out of ivory from the Pakistani ambassador.
Wait. So you kill an elephant to make a mini version of the elephant you just killed out of part of why you killed him.
And if you look closely, it's an Indian elephant.
Oh.
That's the crap I'm not going to miss. A world of people so set in their ways they can't listen to reason from someone like me.
Hey, listen. It's like the new guy at CNN told Mary and me when he dumped us. I envy you your freedom. We and you are the freest people in D.C. right now. At least until you decide about, you know, when.
2016? Mm-hmm. I got a little Joe Biden problem to deal with first.
Hillary, Joe Biden has a track record. He builds up years of goodwill and respect, and then he pisses it away in a six-month presidential campaign. Done it twice. Be crazy to do it again.
I know. But this time he's got the big guy running interference for him.
You don't think the president knows better than to take sides? What's in it for him?
What was in it for him to take time in his victory speech to thank everyone to the left of Glenn Beck? Except Bill.
Hey, missus, nothing looks less presidential than not being above the fray in a fight that can't do anything for you. Hell, this guy never even got involved in other people's elections when it could have helped him. He preferred spending his time filling out NCAA brackets.
I suppose. Oh, my God.
Where's that?
An autographed photo of David Cameron in his Speedo.
National Archives.
Right. Or National Enquirer.
National something. Hey, speaking of which, Bill around?
I think he's upstairs. He was talking about wanting to go to bed early.
Big day of do-gooding ahead.
Would you believe it, James? Right now, he's the only one of us who's gainfully employed.
Well, I was going to go rattle his cage, but he's probably deep in dreamland.
Clinton Global Initiative, making the world a better place one place at a time.
Jesus, Mr. President, it's come to that. You're answering your own phone. I'm dead, and even I don't do that.
Mr. President,
Yeah. Man,
it's been years since I've heard from you. Since way back before the my little thing.
Well, that happened, of course, after I got here. Mm-hmm. But before Haldeman got the Jews to run this place to set me up with reliable phone service. By the way, I am required by those people to inform you that I'm taping this call.
So you're calling me from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. That means all that God in heaven stuff really is true.
Oh, horse crap. This means you shouldn't have had that nacho right before bedtime.
Well, in either case, I'm assuming you're calling for some reason.
Me? No. No, I just sit around here all day making random phone calls to former chief executives. In other words, yes. Look, I understand that your wife is going to run for president.
Well, she's certainly thinking about it, but how did you...
Haldeman got them to set up the internet here, too.
Man, that's not sounding so bad.
Oh, it's horrible. There's no arena. Mm-hmm. Nobody to defeat.
Yeah.
Like the kids say, it sucks the eggs. But, now listen.
Yeah.
You and I both know that there's nothing harder than running for president. It saps every iota of your whole supply of iotas.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about it, and I'm not sure it's something a woman should be doing. Like combat. It's work for a man.
I guess your internet's a little slow. They just started letting women in combat.
Well, that's the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever heard of. Let's say you've got an important dinner party with your counterpart at some other company or country. Mm-hmm. And now your wife says, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I can't help with the guest list. I have to go practice my hand grenade technique.
Well, you know, it's probably
you
just...
You know, I'm just imagining Pat yeah, in a submarine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would drive her crazy. No place to hang the goddamn dish towels.
Mr. President, can I level with you?
Mr. President, let me tell you something. Mm. That's what I hate most about this place. People are lovely with you all day long. It makes it so much harder to figure out what the hell they're up to.
Well, in any case, I think Hillary would make a much better president than I did. She's at the right time of her life where she's, you know, free of distractions.
You mean she's old?
If I were leveling with you, that's what I'd mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot harder for her to get knocked off her path by the sorts of things that, frankly, bedeviled both you and me.
You mean quirks of human personality? You're saying she's too old for that?
You know what, Miss President?
Yeah.
I know you called me, but I get to thank you and get off the line for two reasons.
Yeah. Really?
One, I got a big meeting with the Chase Bank people in the morning.
Yeah.
And two, because when you come right down to it, this is my dream. You take care.
Nothing to take care of. I'm dead.
This has been the Innerside Radio Program. Special thanks to New York City's Joe Dixon, who traded WrestleMania teabagger jokes with me all day long. We get together every week for the Skeptowels podcast. Skeptowels is with a K, and Dixon is with an X. We hang out at skeptowels.com. You can hear this and all previous Innerside Radio programs by Googling The Innerside. And I'll see y'all next week.